Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back. And I really mean it this time. Welcome back to Place to Be Nation's NBA team podcast, where we have a load of content getting ready for you for the as we prepare for the 2017-18 season. Got a whole load of goodies that we're going to be throwing out for you in the next month or so as we continue through. My name is Andrew Reich. I'm one of the co-hosts, as always, for the show. And my co-host at this time, and usually at this time and at all times, is Adam Murray.
I'd like to apologize. Just, you know, we have to start with bad teams as we always do. I said, can we change it up? Can we just pick them out of a hat? He's like, nope, we're going to start with some bad ones. So I'm just going to give a spoiler alert.
When you do like music countdowns, which are they still a thing? I heard TRL came back.
TRL is coming back or just did come back? I don't.
Well, if you do a music countdown, you don't start at number one. If you do like the most terrifying, like,
yeah, but
catfalling incidents, you don't do number one, you do number 50, and then you go to the one.
Yeah, but number 50 is good. You don't start by, you know, if we do, you know, there's a reason there's a top 25 teams in college, not
so
the
let's
top.
So let's just pick the, okay, then let's just pick the Golden State as the worst and predict them to be the worst team in the NBA this year, and we will get, like, ravaged on by every Twitter person that happens to fall on our podcast and think that we're crazy.
Well, can't we just eliminate some teams and start halfway through?
Like the most interesting teams in the world? A little like a Dos Equis countdown?
You know, we'll just give also receiving votes, you know.
For your consideration, since the Emmys just finished.
But it's you know, we are here season four.
Okay. I know, but this is the fourth one. Are you feeling a little lagged at this point, or you feel like you're a little re-energized maybe by the NBA season? Maybe by hearing my beautiful voice again?
It's been such a crazy off-season. There's actually, because last year was just like, there was really no joy. Now it's just like, what the hell is everybody doing? Everybody can't all tank or be at the top.
It's been a tornado of big moves, to be fair. I mean, we're going to go through all of them. We don't have the time to really just like log through all of them right now. We did a lot of that as we did some of the off-season podcasts, if you want to go back and listen to some of those. But to call it a whirlwind would be – almost called it a whirlwind. A whirlwind would be an understatement.
Yeah, this has just been a lot of crazy, crazy people, and I don't know if people realize they have jobs they can lose, or just, like, there's just a lot of questionable moves and questionable ideas, and
a lot of going out of left field kind of things, you know, just for the sake of trying something different. You know.
A lot of it worked in my kids' 2K games. Maybe the trade will work in real life. Oh, it did? Okay.
Okay, now we're going to be starting our preview officially now. But we do, like Adam was alluding to, we do have to start, unfortunately, with the bottom. Not saying this is going to be like – this might be our least listened to installment of our NBA season preview, Adam. So, like, the numbers might dip from, like – what would it be, like
19 to 18?
Like, I was trying to be nice. I was trying to say like 70 to 60.
It's, you know, all people just tune in for a
minute.
But all the
19 or 70 listeners that do listen to us, I'm glad. I hope that audience grows with us. You know, as we, you know, we always trying to get better, always trying to show more things, or always trying to reveal more for not only the Place to Be Nation listeners from the podcast network, the pop feed, the wrestling feed, but anybody who can basically put on an iTunes, just go ahead and give us a like or give us a star rating or a good one.
Just
hopefully.
Download yeah. And then just, you know, just play it for five just seconds and then delete it. So just get the number and move on.
Yeah. But we're going to be starting here at the bottom. We're not going to be going like we've done in the previous installments. We're not doing it directly from 30 to 1. What we're going to do is we're cropping the teams together based on between Adam and I's conversations, teams that we feel like kind of fit in the same cluster. Would that be the fair way to say it?
Yep. And this is all Tankapalooza.
This one I have titled The Sunken Place. Anybody who watched the movie Get Out in the last maybe 6 or 7 months will immediately get that joke. Did you watch the movie Get Out?
No.
Okay, of course you didn't. But the sunken place is not going to spoil anything, but it's basically it's what it sounds like. You know, you're basically in this tier, and there's just basically no way to get out.
Sounds about right.
I mean, like, I'm looking at the five teams we're going to reveal throughout the show, but do you really see at any way or shape or form any of these five teams escaping this cap that we have from them at the highest being the 26th?
No, because none of these teams want to be up there. That's the sad thing.
Britain does, but they just don't have the capabilities.
Yeah, well, let's get started and find out.
And as we always do, Adam, we start with the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, this has become a time-honored tradition. I think every year we start with the Atlanta Hawks somehow.
It's either Atlanta or Brooklyn.
Atlanta last year kind of went for broke. They signed Dwight Howard. They let Al Horford walk in free agency to Boston. Paul Millsap was in a contract year once again because they only got him a three-year deal with a player option the last time they had signed him up. Dennis Schroeder got his extension, so they shipped out Jeff Teague. A few other changes, but they were competitive to start, and then they really crashed hard in the middle of the season. They scrapped together a 43-39 record, good defensively, awful offensively under Mike Budenholzer this year compared to like the previous two when their offense was jiving pretty well. Not necessarily blaming Dwight Howard, which is always a very, very easy scapegoat, but the offense just faltered. They lost in six games to the Wizards in the first round, and then what happened?
And then what happened is, well, Budenholzer is no longer the GM, and he's been demoted to coach. And the what was it, 2013 or 2014 Players of the Month?
2015 Players of the Month. I think it was.
That era is officially dead and over, as we don't know whether we want to tank or we don't know whether we want to sell everybody. So instead of trying to get premium dollar last year, they just got 10 cents on the dollar by dumping everybody.
Yeah, that five, just for historical sake, I believe it was Millsap, Al Horford, Jeff Teague. One of them was Thabo Sefolosha, am I right?
It was Damari Carroll and Korver, wasn't it?
Damari Carroll and Kyle Korver, yeah. So Sefolosha had the gun incident in New York, and that's why he was kind of out of the mix. He did finish up the season, but now he's also gone, along with Howard, Paul Millsap signing with the Denver Nuggets, Lamar Patterson, Mike Dunleavy, Ryan Kelly, Jose Calderon, who actually – shockingly played okay for them when they needed a backup point guard in the Washington series. But I mean, it's not like he's going to be terribly missed. You know, now it's the time. We're going to talk about the additions that they made, but now is the time for their draft picks over the years to kind of make some hay. I mean, Torian Prince had some decent moments. DeAndre Bembry too. They drafted a kid named John Collins out of Wake Forest that they really liked. Is this going to be a great opportunity for those guys?
Well, that's the problem, is now's the time for all their young people to shine. Oh, wait, they lost Hardaway, Howard, Millsap, and
I don't blame them for not matching Hardaway's contract.
Oh, well, that's the smart thing. But who is their young developmental? They have Schroeder. And
are you considered young on paper at 27 years old?
Who?
Kent Bazemore.
No, he's garbage. 27, well, you've been in the league 5 years. You're no longer a young person, a prospect. He's the highest paid guy on the team.
It's not good when you play the three spot and you average only three rebounds a game. It's not good.
Yeah, no, it isn't. And, you know, okay, now's the time. So they had, you know, two first-round draft picks last year, and before that, they have had nobody. They've either traded their pick away or squandered it with people like Adrian Payne, who they've somehow managed to flip for a first. And there's nobody on this team. There's absolutely no talent.
Are you saying Miles Plumlee is not talented?
The fact that he was able to be traded twice.
And Bellinelli were traded to Atlanta for Dwight Howard. But what happened is Plumlee has a contract that is just not even like on the precipice of being kind. It's something in the range of like three more years remaining at double-digit million.
Yeah, and you know, they facilitated the trade, the Millsap trade.
Yes.
The Millsap three-way. And, okay, so what do they get? They get, like, they get a draft pick, but they also had to cut and stretch
Jamal Crawford.
So what's the point of that is if you're taking on dead money for 3 years, it's not smart, you know.
Well, they had the cap room to do it. They had projected space.
You have projected space in the cap room, but you're taking on the dead stretch money. If you're just, you know, do you see Brooklyn stretching anybody? Do you see Philly stretching anybody? No, they tank, you know, they use their cap space. Oh, yeah, we'll always have it. But if you're going to say, nope, we have now $3 million less because we need to stretch him, that's not smart. You're just wasting your cap space.
Well, you know, the ultimate demise of that, you know, the player of the month crew was the avoidance of the tax. You know, that was the reasoning behind Al Horford. They kind of short shrifted him on another year on his contract. He didn't like it. When he got the other year from Boston, that's when he fled, because they didn't want that extra year. I mean, maybe it was smart because by that time Horford might be damaged goods, but you're breaking up the opus of what makes your team good when you get rid of a point center like Horford. And I don't think they ever recovered from that. I'm not saying Horford's like this tremendous offensive key, but losing him for what the core of the Hawks were was huge. And that was the beginning of the end. Then losing Millsap, who's your defensive linchpin and your best offensive player, that just ended it.
And then when you could have traded him and gotten something for him and you just sort of let him go for a five seed, and then, you know, well, with the whole Al Horford thing of, oh, yeah, we want you back. Oh, we just signed Dwight Howard. No. You three can totally play together. Wait, huh? No. You just literally signed my replacement. You don't want me. No. We want you back. And again, it's just bad management from the top. And they, you know, the Dwayne Dedmon signing, I think, is for $5 million.
Yes. It's a very, very small range. And a lot of people thought that he would go back to San Antonio. That's what a lot of the grandstanding was for Dedmon. But he wound up signing with the Hawks. So, and that's actually wind up okay. He had very good defense. He had very good, on court minutes for the Spurs. Like, I guess what they call it is the plus minus. I'm drawing a blank. Like the on court plus minus.
The on court minutes are just called minutes.
Or
the
plus minutes minus.
The minutes you're on the court are called minutes.
I don't know what I'm thinking. It's too early.
Oh,
but
boy.
His plus minus is what I was trying to get.
Well, it's San Antonio, so everybody's plus minus numbers are super high and super skewed. And it's just one of those, in small doses, he was absolutely good. And he's a great signing. And, you know, John Collins isn't going to be ready. There's no other real big men except for, you know.
I think they brought over Tyler Dorsey, but I don't know if he's officially signed. They re-signed Mike Muscala, which I kind of guessed at because they really liked him. Like, they played him a lot more in the second team minutes than I ever expected. And in crunch time, Muscala would be out there. I think Prince has a very nice future.
Well, of course. You know, in the playoffs, he was starting and he was getting meaningful minutes, so that's a good sign for him. Bembry was injured, and I think he's injured again, or he's looking...
Ilyasova, I believe, is back in the fold.
Ilyasova, he's underrated. He's, you know, obviously not a good defender at all, but he gives you a solid stretch presence from the four. And
But your offensive spark is now Dennis Schroeder, which is very concerning. Not that he's a bad player. It's just that he's very inconsistent.
Well, he's young and he's developing. That's what you know, he's going to get better. It's just you're not – it's a major, major step back for everybody this year. And, you know, just for this year, we are going by the Vegas rankings of what the Vegas said the over-under is, and – we're going to sort of, you know, figure, can they get to that point? Because Vegas sometimes is kind of on. Sometimes
we were looking at the Vegas over-unders this year, and we're like, man, that's pretty close to how we think. You know, I mean, that's kind of like, duh, that's how it's designed for. You know, there's always a couple of, like, odd ones. Like, if you ever do over-unders from previous years and you look at the actual results, there's a lot of them that – there will be some that will stand out, and you're like, man, how did we get that wrong? But it's a pretty steep drop here, like you were mentioning. It was 43 wins in the actual wins in 2017. The over-under is 25.5. I'll still go under. I think Atlanta is going to actually – I'll just break it here. I think Orlando is going to be the worst team in the NBA.
And that's the thing. It's just like, wow, that's a steep drop, but ooh, that's but look who else is in the East.
We have four East teams in the sunken place. We have only one West team, and there's another East team in the next tier that I would have I could easily fit in here if I wanted to. At least in my mind.
Do they have ties? Can we just say not play the game? Just give them a point each and be like, thanks. But yeah, I think I might have to go under for this one as well.
Yeah, I mean, at 20, like, what would you say? Like, I can't go under 20. I don't think it's going to bottom out like
it's Philt 23.
Style. Yeah, I mean, to go under 20, I mean, you've got to truly be awful. And I mean, we have some great candidates, but I don't know about – I don't think with Atlanta – I mean, I think Budenholzer, even though Travis Schlenk is now in the fold, he had previously been with Golden State, and he was sort of the one who kind of kick-started the reboot. He basically said, look, we're not going to sign Millsap. We're not going to try to keep Tim Hardaway in restricted free agency. We're just going to start over. How Budenholzer fits in that fold with Schlenk is going to be interesting. This might be considered by the owners a mulligan season, you know, whatever the result is, it is. But I think Budenholzer is a smart enough coach and he can teach enough defense that they might scrape out some wins that you don't expect. So I won't go under 20. That to me is going to be unreasonable. But let's go ahead and move on to another East team, a team that's been toiling this section for quite a while, the Brooklyn Nets. And I still feel like it's not going to be getting that much better, even though you feel like there's a little bit of optimism.
They finally have a real team. They finally assembled enough misfit toys to put together a ragtag squad of, all right, we have something we can look forward to here, as opposed to let's keep drafting combo guards and see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they actually got names this time. Like, usually, like they make additions, like they would try to do things like bring in Anthony Bennett for nothing, bring in Thomas Robinson for nothing, bring in KJ McDaniels and see if he would work out. And they would try to add them to their kind of, like, mediocre second team and, you know, guys like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who I'm slowly beginning to finally sour on. I'm to the point with Rondae where it's like, okay, I don't think you're ever going to show the ability to be a good NBA player, you know?
No, he started off good, then he got injured and just sort of hasn't really come back. And
he reminds me of Tim Hardaway Jr. You know, just to kind of put a comparison to it, just not nearly as good offensive, but in terms of potential, like he would have to probably be shipped somewhere and be basically left for dead, like a misfit toy, you say, to really show what he's got. You know,
well, this is his year to do it because they picked up Damari Carroll, who, you know, you could say, oh, he's
lots
done, he's
of
over. In,
lots of knee issues though,
but also lots of misuse in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supposed to be a 3-and-D guy, but if you're just a team which just says, okay, Lowry, give it to DeRozan. Okay, DeRozan, if you get caught, give it back to Lowry. And just play that game for 48 minutes. You're not going to do anything. So there's potential he could, you know, recapture that Atlanta form. They've always been high on Alan Crabb. So much so, it was the question mark of the trade is, how come they didn't shake down Portland for a little bit more? They just said, okay, we'll take him straight up for Nicholson?
It was a weird situation where the original offer sheet in 2016 was Brooklyn's, which they did the same thing with Otto Porter in 2017, but Washington matched it. Well, they did the same thing with Crabb the year before. It was a very, very high contract, somewhere in the $18 million range with a trade kicker, I believe it was. And Portland matched it to the shock of everyone. And then a year later, Portland called back Brooklyn and said, you know what? If you want him, you can have him. Just give us Andrew Nicholson and we'll stretch him. And that's exactly what they did.
Which, you know, is crazy because Andrew Nicholson had 3 years left. So that's a seven-year stretch on there, and that's not a...
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's not like a ton of money, but it's a lot on. It's just a long term.
It's you have, you know, money on your books for 7 years now.
Exactly,
that's disgusting.
Kind of like the Gilbert Arenas Orlando thing, where it's like, oh God, you know. So, but I mean, some other teams, guys that are incumbents of the Brooklyn team is Jeremy Lin, who they had signed. He had a lot of injuries that season, but when he played well. Sean Kilpatrick, they basically picked up off the street. He's now arguably their best shooting guard. Trevor Booker, a big man. Joe Harris. Caris LeVert, who has showed some signs as a rookie. So did Isaiah Whitehead. After that, it's kind of all new pieces. D'Angelo Russell, they picked up in that trade where they traded their best player, arguably, Brook Lopez. Did you feel like Brooklyn won out on that at the end? They brought in Mozgov with it, too.
Oh, yeah. You got a one-year rental of Brook Lopez, who wasn't going to sign anyways. And you get, you get a actual face of the franchise. You get a number two pick who you haven't had in how many years. So you actually have a finally a developmental piece as opposed to, well, we signed Archie Goodwin. And, well, we signed Sean Kilpatrick. We drafted Isaiah Whitehead. Hopefully he could do something.
Yeah.
You know, so you actually have, you know, you got Mozgov, who is the price, you know, he's not terrible.
Oh, he's overpaid. He's overpaid. I mean,
he's overpaid, but he's not, he can play still. He's not like, you know, Joakim Noah last year or Yamahimi, where it's just like you gave him a ton of money and they can't even get on the court.
Well, not only that, when Magic took over, the Lakers actively tanked, so they sat Mozgov for, and dang, the other bad contract they had for like weeks at a time.
Literally. Yeah, they just said go home 3 weeks early.
Yeah, wait, cool. another team that we're going to talk about did the same thing.
Yeah, but they actually have players as opposed to salary cap dumps, so there's no reason D'Angelo Russell couldn't be a most improved player candidate.
Yeah, but it's not like they're getting a dream team. They're getting applicable parts, but they're getting bigger names than they had in the past two or three seasons, where it just felt like you could tell the drain was circling the drain, and then it finally went down the drain. Like,
oh, they're going to be absolutely terrible, but they have a starting lineup as opposed to, well, who's your 10-day contract this week?
Yeah, and then there's the last year of the draft incentive, which somehow now belongs to, I believe, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Is that right? Or is that
Cleveland
one of those complicated
has it, and nope, Cleveland owns it outright, and unless they get rid of it, it's theirs to have. And so the thing with problem with Brooklyn is they're just a super small team. You get rid of Lopez, you draft.
Well, you picked up Tyler Zeller in the waiver and like on the pickups.
Okay, you got Tyler Zeller, who's the backup. You drafted, was it Jared Allen?
Yes, they drafted Jared Allen out of
Okay,
Texas.
Who's going to be nowhere near ready to be handling the minutes. They got nobody. They got Trevor Booker at the four.
Mm-hmm.
Or Damari Carroll is a small four, which he can't play.
I think Booker could play the five because he's such a good rebounder, but he'll be so undersized.
And that's the problem, is this team is going to be undersized. But the one thing, the difference between this team and then a lot of the other teams we've sort of mentioned, is this team played super hard last year. Did you ever see them tank any game? No, they just didn't have talent and wound up losing in the last quarter by like, you know, they keep it close. Okay, you're down by five, you're down by six. Oh, well, we lost by 16 because we you know, it's the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Sean Marks is the GM, but the head coach that he hired was Kenny Atkinson, who came from the Atlanta system. They shot a ton of threes, even though they were not efficient at all. They were like 27th in efficiency and 23rd in three-point percentage, but they took a lot of them. I mean, how many times did you see highlights of Brook Lopez just with a standstill three off of like a drag? I mean, constantly. And arguably, Lopez may have had his best season.
Yeah, they turned him into a stretch five, and now all of a sudden, that's something he never had done prior to
that. That was the
year.
Value that led to the Russell trade, so mission accomplished. Rebounding-wise, with Lopez in tow, they were good. Points per game, they were 12, but like I said, defense was awful. They never got any steals. They turned the ball over a ton. They are very, very, very young. I mean, I guess quickening the pace like they did because they were first in pace is a decent idea when you sort of have like we're saying, basically lost seasons. Would you consider this one a lost season where they're over under after 20 wins in 2017? Now the over under is at 28.5.
Yeah, Vegas is very high on them all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, so bottoming out would be unreasonable to say for Brooklyn if you've already had 20 wins. I mean, it's hard to go lower than that. It's not impossible. Philly showed that, but you can. I don't think they will, but I'm not going to go further than 28. I mean, just no. I could see them around 25 or 27 wins.
No, I see them as a nice hard under on this one. However, you have Atlanta you have to play. They're looking like that's a team we can actually beat. You see, next up, spoiler alert, Chicago. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's a team we can beat.
Yeah, can just move on to Chicago now.
They've never been able to say that before.
I mean, Chicago's is so strange. I mean, it's just such a weird chronicling of what's going on with them because there's a lot of moving parts there. Just you could still go back all the way to the, you know, when Thibodeau was fired and then they brought in Fred Hoiberg and they didn't make the playoffs and they made the playoffs after a lot of big additions that they made where they signed Dwayne Wade and they signed Rajon Rondo. They were going to try to make it work with Jimmy Butler, and it was a fucking disaster. And they mustered just enough to get to 41-41 to beat out Miami for the eighth spot. And this is where it gets even weirder. They won the first two games at Boston, but Rajon Rondo, who played inspired against his former team, I believe broke his hand or his wrist. And without Rondo, they had no backup point guard. The backups were Michael Carter-Williams, Jerian Grant, and Isaiah Cannon. And Isaiah Thomas, who at the time played for Boston Celtics, I can't believe I'm even saying that, just destroyed them. And they won the next four games. And they engineered a trade with Minnesota that is still boggling my mind.
It's, well, don't forget, last year they also signed Carter Williams midseason. They traded for him, then they traded for Cameron Payne midseason,
who is now like almost a liability because of his injuries. They traded Taj Gibson was an expiring contract, so they wanted value, but they also threw in Doug McDermott, you know, who is a decent player. I mean, he still has. I mean, he's very young. He's an older 23 or 24, but he's got some game to him. And you're bringing Cameron Payne. You didn't even bring off of the D League because he wasn't good enough for the playoffs roster. It was just mind-boggling.
Yeah, so, you know, we had gone back and forth so many times, like, who is the problem? Is it the coach or is it the front office? And then, oh, you know, hey, let's, you know, we've mentioned the Jimmy Butler trade so many times of just, here, let's get rid of him for a lot of nothing. And then, no, we don't need the extra pick. We're just going to be, we don't know what we're doing.
I mean, are they putting that much stock into Chris Dunn and Zach Levine? Or do you think this is just a miscalculation?
They have the Vivek goggles on. They have the Rendezvous goggles. They're like, Chris Dunn's so good. He was just in Minnesota. Minnesota doesn't know how. Thibodeau's horrible. He ruins everybody. He ruined our team. If Chris Dunn wasn't with Thibodeau, he'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And that's what they're sort of looking at. Like, you know, okay, so you have young pieces, which Atlanta doesn't have, but you just have, you know, you got Lauri Markkanen, who was in the Euros, was very, people are back up being high on him again.
He's from Finland, played a year at Arizona, great shooter, didn't look great in summer league, but then, like we always keep saying, with the asterisk, it's summer league. I mean, he might be really good as like a stretch four, stretch five, because I think he's like a legit 6'11", isn't he?
He's a 6'11", but he can't rebound. Not a good shooter inside, not a great defender as well.
His pick and roll defense is going to be god awful. And I mean, the other problem is that you have Bobby Portis, and it feels like you're sort of relegating Portis when you tried to develop him to no avail. But you know, Robin Lopez is still in the mix, and he played, you know, he's played pretty well for Chicago. He's sort of their emotional leader too. I mean, didn't he have that fight with I'm drawing the blank. Was it Serge Ibaka maybe?
I don't remember. He's the only real, you know,
he's the only
elder
fighter of the team. Yeah,
he's the only elder person left. You know, they signed Felicio Cristiano to a, you know, $8 million four-year $32 million deal against nobody was signed. You have Mirotić, who as of this time still isn't signed.
Yeah, we're getting right close to that ticking clock where he might just take the tender.
Yeah, so yeah. You just have these things like, what is your plan? What are you doing? You've gotten rid of everybody. You didn't get that extra pick as a developer. You got Denzel Valentine, who wasn't good last year.
Paul Zipser played okay.
Zipser overachieved.
Yeah, that's
a
good
second
way
round pick. But he's developing. So it's just like, all right, you got Chris Dunn, Levine.
To be fair, Zach Levine had very good offensive numbers before the ACL. But the thing that worries you about Levine is that his more than 50% of what made him so efficient was his leaping ability and his athleticism. His ability to shoot over people and to dunk over people.
And then his defense was absolutely awful too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, he wasn't statistically like one of the three worst defenders in the league.
Yeah, well, the ACL injury, like I'm alluding to, is going to be, how do you come back from that? I mean, it was an early injury. I think it was like right in the middle of the season. It was right at the same time Jabari Parker tore his ACL. So it's like maybe he'll be completely and fully back. And then there's the Dwayne Wade thing, where Gar Pax, which is Gar Foreman and John Paxson, they are constantly criticized as the conglomerate of Gar Pax. There's been all these open negotiations and interviews with Dwayne Wade where he kind of knows that Chicago's not in the vein of being able to compete. And if it feels that way and they're sort of in the bottom out position, which I feel like they will be as we go give our prediction soon, that Wade will request a buyout since the cap space is there and they can just let Wade go to the Cavaliers or the Rockets or whatever the case may be.
Well, it's just one of those, you know, he was like, all right, I'm going to come here. You guys are going to be competitive. Oh, yeah. We're going to get you, Jimmy Butler. We're going to get Rondo. You're going to have this team. Okay, that's cool. Okay, I'm going to come back. You're going to keep the team together, right? Yeah, we'll totally keep the team together. Hello?
With the little bird in the background. that's how quiet it was in that room after that conversation when the Butler trade happened, probably with Wade. So.
Yeah, so it's one of those, you know, Robin Lopez is good. He's a nice, solid defender, but they're probably going to try to dump him for prospects.
How much will they miss Jimmy Butler? I know this is a no-duh kind of question, but, like, what was Butler to Chicago?
Butler was the reason they weren't terrible. They didn't have that lull.
But was he the reason they were good when Rose came back in that last year that Thibodeau coached? Like, was Butler the man?
Yeah, Butler was the man, and I don't think anybody expected him to become the man or expect him to be good as he had become. And
he's a career overachiever. I can say that about Butler. You know, he's got the length and the mobility that would have made you think coming out of Marquette that he could have been that kind of player, but he had to overachieve to do it. So good for him. And he made
overachieve, you know, 28th pick, I believe, and
now he's making pretty good coin, even though a lot of people feel in this day and age that he's now underpaid as a superstar now that he's going to Minnesota, which made the trade even that much easier to go.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we'll just, you know, we'll give you next to nothing for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now we start over. You know, Dunn is going to have to be the point guard of the future. Now that Rondo's out of the mix, now he's signed with New Orleans. Markkanen, that's a slow development. Levine, he'll replace Wade whenever Wade is officially bought out. Bobby Portis, I think, is going to probably wind up being what, like a starting four?
No. Bobby Portis is apparently we're the only people who like him because they just refuse to – what was it, game one of the playoffs? He was absolutely unstoppable. And then, we don't want to play him anymore. We're just going to bury him. And every time, like, you see him in the court, he looks good. So I don't know what
I just think he has the frame and the deception. He's got that deceptive ability to sneak through points in an up-and-down game. That's why I like Portis. He's stocky, but he's got some decent – he can move. He can move, and he's got a nice little jump shot. That's why I like him. And he's 22 years old. He's very young.
We like him. They don't like him. And you know who else doesn't like Chicago? Vegas. They put it at 21.5.
After 41 wins, that is a 19.5. That is 19.5 wins down. I can't go – like I was saying, like under 20 is hard. I mean, I could see Atlanta maybe doing it, like I was saying, but – Chicago.
I don't know. Atlanta's at 25. They're saying you're going to be.
I'm saying, like, I can see Atlanta just completely bottoming out. I think they're going to be the worst team by nature. I don't think the Bulls will go to 20, so I'll go over. But I mean, maybe Fred Hoiberg pulls out some magic now that he doesn't have to deal with the kid who give the ball to Butler, give the ball to Wade, give the ball to Rondo, you know, ISO stuff, and maybe they can just run actual offense. You know, and I'm not saying that Fred Hoiberg is underappreciated. A lot of people be like, Fred Hoiberg is a really, really bad NBA coach.
I think you're the only one who's on the pro Hoiberg train.
You know, he did an interview because I want him to selfishly go back to college because I thought he fit great there. He did an interview saying I effing hated recruiting. So, I mean, I don't know if he wants to go back. Maybe he just wants to stay in the NBA system, you know, but not working out so far. But I'll go over on 21.5 wins.
Gee, that sort of makes sense. He hates recruiting, and then his team doesn't want to play for him.
Talk about Isaiah Thomas's crab dribble lever.
We're just moving on.
So you do you have under or over on
under,
Chicago?
Under.
So they might be the worst. I mean, we're going to do this rank at the very end, but we're staying in the East. This is the last one, though. We got four in a row here. And now the next one is the Orlando Magic. Now, I got to say, the trajectory for me, or was it trajectory or projectory? How does it go?
Trajectory, yes.
I am totally losing it. The English language is kicking my ass today. The Orlando Magic, they're – trajectory I feel like is going upwards compared to these four that other ones that are it feels like it's either stagnant or going downwards.
I just disagree. You know, we're a team that can't shoot threes. I know, let's draft a defensive kid with the number six pick. There, we know there's tons of guards out there. We know, you know, our point guard, we don't know whether we like him or not yet, but let's just get a defensive guy. It doesn't matter. Our team is just built on defense. You could never have too much defense.
When you look on paper, the top five scorers, and I'm pretty sure the top four rebounders are top five rebounders are all back. So when you look at the roster, it doesn't seem like they made that much movement. A lot of the movement is behind the scenes. Rob Hennigan was fired. Horrible. I mean, just give me a very quick summary of the Rob Hennigan era in Orlando as the president or GM of the team.
I don't know how you can have a rebuilding effort from a rebuilding effort.
I mean, that's how bad it was, huh?
You were rebuilding, and then now you have to rebuild the rebuild. It was just...
Is it similar to Colangelo taking over for Sam Hinkie, or was that a different animal?
They got picks, and they got assets for Dwight Howard.
This was like they would get assets, like they got, you know, the Dwight Howard deal, like you said, but then they would like squander it. Like wasn't there the Saric deal where they wanted to move up to get Elfrid Payton, and they had to give up something else to Philadelphia to do so. And
they moved down.
Yeah, it just felt like they never made.
They moved down. They we got Tobias Harris. Okay, let's trade Tobias Harris for Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova.
Yeah,
you have they got who else was in that deal?
Well, remember they also traded Victor Oladipo for Serge Ibaka, and then Oladipo, they traded Ibaka for I don't even remember what, a Terrence Ross and a first round pick, a late.
Yeah, so all of that, you just get Terrence Ross and the first round pick. I think they traded to Brooklyn or Philly.
Yeah,
they got the Latvian kid who's 7'2", so he's not. You know, I think they traded to Philly for future prospects or whatever. So in the end, all you did is just completely get worse. You have Aaron Gordon, who we still don't know is good. All we know is he can jump around like nobody can believe, but he doesn't do anything really. You have Elfrid Payton, who, if you squint your eyes enough, he might look like he could be good, but
he racks up triple doubles, but it's like one of those kind of like synthetic triple doubles where, hey, look at me, I'm getting a triple double, like the kind of Russell Westbrook thing. But he's not, his efficiency is just it's horrible. You know, that's the problem with Payton. And as a scorer, everyone knew that was his problem coming out of college, and it is not improved in the slightest.
No, and he hasn't improved. Hisanya, I don't know.
I've given up on Mario Hisanya. That was a bust.
I just don't know. Like, I think he can be good if you try to go small and play him at a stretch four. But they don't know where to put him yet. And
they finally started giving minutes to Biombo after the Ibaka trade, which was, I think, by design. I think they had it in mind to keep Ibaka. They wouldn't have traded a number two pick in Oladipo for a guy that they knew they were going to unload anyway, and because in free agency they weren't going to re-sign him. But I think Hennigan had it in mind that he was going to get Biombo anyway in case they couldn't sign Ibaka back. But they did commit a ton of money to both of them. At $17 million a year, Biombo might be considered by most parts an overpay.
Oh, well, he's just completely a waster. I think it was just he was going to the assumption, okay, we got Ibaka, we got Vucevic. Okay, well, if one of them slows or one of them, we can rotate it with Biombo. So we have this three-headed defensive monster that can't be stopped. Well, yeah, but nobody goes down in the paint. Everybody just shoots threes.
And now you've run that risk with Vucevic, who feels like it's almost gotten into, like, what, malcontent phase with
yeah,
Vucevic?
Yeah, he's felt marginalized. And
yes.
This team hasn't had a shooting guard in who knows how long, but again, you need a two, you need a one. Let's draft a.
Evan Fournier?
he's been decent, but he's
guard? I mean, I guess he plays the two, you know.
He's more of a three though.
Then Ross can play the two as like the athletic two. And he played okay in the minutes. He averaged over like 1.4 steals per game to go with it. So defensively, he's not a complete liability.
They're not liabilities, just they're not exciting.
No. I do like the front office reshuffling where they got three names that people know. You know, Jeff Weltman, who came from, I believe, from was it Oklahoma City, I want to say? And then John Hammond, who would come from Milwaukee and got pushed out of there. And then Pete D'Alessandro is the assistant GM under Hammond. And Weltman's the president. And I think that's actually some pretty smart heads in the room. They drafted Jonathan Isaac, who was not an offensive player. So it was like, okay, so you're trying to double down on defense with Frank Vogel, a defensively minded coach coaching the team, so you're trying to kind of give him an olive branch. You signed Jonathan Simmons, who was like one of the Spurs, like he was probably what their best small forward is that outside of Kawhi.
He was pretty much the only small forward outside of Kawhi. Yeah. It was just that was surprising to get him, but you have a lot of money to Vucevic. You have a lot of money to Biombo. You have a lot of money to Fournier. It's just
for and then Aaron Gordon will get paid very soon.
For a team that's bad, you shouldn't have this much money committed already.
Mm-hmm. It does feel like that. I mean, it's not like the starting four is bad. Like it's a decent one.
It's just you've decided to go all in on Peyton again, and you're keeping him, and he's still a weak link.
But do you feel like Weltman, Hammond, D'Alessandro trio, do you feel like they'll be bought in on Elfrid Payton as much as Rob Hennigan was? Because that was a point of contention between Hennigan and Scott Skiles, the previous coach before Vogel, that Skiles just did not believe in Payton and wanted to get rid of him. Hennigan said no, so Skiles just straight up quit.
He just said, screw you, I don't need this anymore.
They had 29 wins in 2017, which actually felt like a little less than that, because they've been toiling mediocrity for so long. But their over-under is actually a slight increase. It's at 33.5.
It's at 33, and that's only not because they've gotten better. It's because everyone else has gotten worse. Look at this list. Uh-huh. You know, you have Chicago going down 20 wins. You need to distribute those somewhere. Still an under on them.
I'll actually go over. Like, I feel like they might be the team that takes the jump out of this. Like, but if they do, it'll be it would have to be like extreme, like everything would have to click exactly right. I'm doing that based off the expectation that Aaron Gordon is going to shine. Like they're actually going to play him at the power forward position instead of the stupid small forward stuff that they tried the years before. And he's going to expand his game a lot. And Vucevic will be back in the fold as like a scoring five. And maybe that'll work a little easier.
And speaking of bad GM teams, we moved to Phoenix.
Oh, you mean talking about Phoenix Suns and Ryan McDonough, who just got an extension. So how is he a bad GM if he just got an extension?
He has compromising photos of the owners.
That's all you can do, huh? The Phoenix Suns, this past season was weird. I mean, you and I had that funny segment last season about the Devin Booker game, about how it was just one of the weirdest games ever. Because I mean, anytime I think of the Phoenix Suns last year, I'm not trying to like marginalize it and trying to hurry up things for this roster and trying to like avoid talking about the roster. We're going to talk about them. But anytime I think of last year with the Suns, I think of the Devin Booker game when he scored 70 points in a like 20 point loss against the Celtics.
And that was it. Like everybody knew that was happening. Everybody was just watching it. Like, give it to Booker. Give it to Booker. Like nobody was playing. It was like a pickup game almost. It was just the problem with this team is just we got a point guard. I know. Let's get another point guard. I know. Yeah. Let's get a third point guard.
And let's sit Eric Bledsoe the entire season, or like most of the season, as a healthy scratch.
But you know, and then what happened? You know, we've seen it before. We got Thomas and Dragic, and well, we need another point guard in there. Oh, it all failed. Well, let's just do it again. Let's get more point guards in there. And then it's like, oh, they're in the talk in the Kyrie trade. It's like, well, why would Kyrie want to go there, and why would Phoenix want him? Because they're not in contention to do anything.
But at least they tried. At least they felt like, okay, let's take a stab at this. Remember when LeBron was a free agent in 2014 from Miami? Phoenix tried to get in the room. Like, they tried to make the moves. I mean, the one thing is, when you try to take a stab at names, that's how you get the Tyson Chandler contract. You know, there's some things that where you just – you don't want to peek your head in.
Yeah, there's that. And okay, they had the first meeting with
Aldridge.
Aldridge and Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
With Blake Griffin, but it's just one of those, like, hey, you guys got two lottery picks. I know, let's get Dragon Bender and Marquise Chris. Oh, it doesn't matter, they play the same position and can't play with each other.
Chris got a lot of minutes, but that was out of necessity. That, I mean,
Bender got injured.
Exactly. And he's athletic. He's very athletic.
That's the thing. You have Alex Len. Oh, we don't want to re-sign him to a deal, so we don't know if he's going to sign his tender or what, you know, what they're waiting on him. So, you know, and then, oh, well, we're not going to trade Josh Jackson. He's untouchable in the Kyrie trade. Well, it makes sense because with Kyrie, yeah, your team be better, but your team is still god awful. You wouldn't even be, you know, next tier up is, you know, or two tiers up, but you're going to start, you know, with Kyrie, would this team be better than, like, a New Orleans or a Memphis? No, they'd still get destroyed.
And, like, so, you were mentioning, Brandon Knight's out of the mix.
Knight's out of the mix. You got Bledsoe, who hasn't really paid off dividends for them.
TJ Warren is a solid three. That's the one thing I can give him, but he's a restricted free agent coming up. So do they turn that into an asset near, you know, when they start to tank again, if they do, or do they try to sign him up? We'll see. We'll know more in November.
He's decent, but the problem is you have Josh Jackson, who's going to have to get on the, who people are going to want to see.
I think Jackson can play the four in today's NBA. That's just I know not a lot of people have seen him, but I think defensively he can pull.
Then where is Bender or Chris or Len or Chandler going to play?
Well, Len is the center. So, I mean, that you
okay, Len and Chandler in the center. You have Bender, who you could probably try to do a small center.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he going to take Marquise Chris's moments? You know, he showed some on the court. No, he was just on the court. You watched him on defense. He had no clue what he was doing.
Yeah, and they've already had some injury issues with the offseason with Devon Reed, their second-round pick, and I think Alan Williams. They signed him up with early bird rights, but I think he has, like, a torn meniscus. So they're gonna have a lot of reason to sit a lot of guys from the, they already did the work for them, pretty much.
You know, okay, you could say yes, they're trying, because let's say they did get Blake Griffin and they did trade for Kyrie, this team would be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just how you gonna. This team just doesn't look good on paper.
Earl Watson might be one of the worst coaches in the NBA.
He was the third assistant, and he was by default the only one who wasn't fired.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the owners, who is it, Sarver? They're not really trying to do anything. They're just like, well.
Will they be able to trade away Chandler?
No, because he still has another 2 years left, and his production has gone down.
We can't really talk about too much with the subtractions. The only guy that they really lost who had any type of significant impact was Leandro Barbosa. So really not much to talk about there.
He had no impact, so that's the problem is, you know, the final day of the season, it was last year, Archie Goodwin or Derrick Jones Jr. They kept Derrick Jones, and they wound up starting at the end of the season. It's like, well,
did they have a stat where Gonzaga and North Carolina, the national title participants in the college, were older than the Suns lineup one night in the NBA?
Yeah, something like that. And the team's not going to get better. And just, okay, Devin Booker can shoot. Well, can he really do anything else, or is he just going to be a shooter now?
Mm-hmm. They did get lightning in a bottle with Tyler Ulis. So if they trade Bledsoe, Ulis, I think it's a reach, but I think Ulis can play starting point guard in the NBA. It'll be tough, but I think he's got certain skills. You know, he had that crazy moment where he tied the game and then he hit the three off of a steal against the Celtics to win it. But that was just one game. You know, he's 21, so, and he's on a very, very low contract. So that helps him out too. Alrighty. 24 wins in 2017, 28.5 wins. I'm gonna go under. They might get less than 24 wins. Devin Booker is a future star.
He's a future star, but you're just gonna have him waste away with Eric Bledsoe and, you know, nobody else around him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and Bender, you got it. I mean, I know it was his rookie year. A lot of people give that a mulligan for Euros, but you got to show something. This is
he was injured.
I know.
He had foot or ankle problems. It's one of those things. Well, he was terrible. But if you're injured and you miss half the season because of a foot injury, well,
mm-hmm. But that's a very high pick. You got to make it work. And so that's finishing the five teams. Now we're kind of going to go into our ranking system here, where we're doing is we go from the bottom to the top. I pick mine and Adam picks his, and we see how much disagreement we have. This one's going to be from 30 to 26. For number 30, and I already gave it away, that my worst team, I think, in the NBA will be the Atlanta Hawks. I think it's going to be a long year for Mike Budenholzer and company. Who do you have at 30th?
I have 30th. I also have Atlanta.
You have Atlanta, so we have a ding on that one. 29, I have the Bulls below the Hawks, or right above the Hawks.
I have the Bulls at 30th as well.
So you have them tied.
I have them tied.
You have them tied. So the same exact number of wins. I have the Nets after the Bulls.
I have Phoenix also tied for 30th.
Oh, wow.
I will admit I am being too hard on Phoenix, but I just don't see anything good for this team.
I mean, I just talked about how the Suns might lose 20, might have 20 wins again, but I still like the Suns a little bit more than the Nets, because I feel like they have a little bit more offensive juice. So you said the Nets above the Suns, or do you have the Magic there?
I have Magic up top, Brooklyn. So, Magic 26, Brooklyn 27.
And I agree. I feel like the Magic have the most potential to get out of the sunken place, even though
paid money. Everybody else is trying to cut money and doesn't want to spend. This is Orlando's the only one who's putting money into the system.
Yeah, and we usually talk about a team that might bottom out, but that's the problem. We are there. This is the bottom. This is the bottom of the gas tank. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, hey, could they move down? It's like, no, they moved down. They're in the D League. You know?
Yeah, there is no relegation. So yeah, I agree
with
you.
The Hawks, I think, could be the D League relegate this year. I think they would be the one.
I think Chicago. I think the Hawks. Schroeder knows how to play, has the winning thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Taurean Prince is – it's just Chicago. It's just dysfunction up and down, and the team doesn't want to play for the coach. The team doesn't want to play for the GM. They have a big PR mess right now.
Any players to watch? I mean, no MVP candidates here, but, I mean, any
– D'Angelo Russell.
I'm watching Aaron Gordon in Orlando, especially when he gets the new contract, and it's kind of like agreed upon that he's the man in Orlando. If that's what comes to fruition, you know, unless they play hardball in restricted free agency. So you said D'Angelo Russell in Brooklyn.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, with Chicago and Atlanta, I mean, I don't know if I even want to watch them. That's like a league pass. Like red flag. Like if I see them, I'm like, nah.
Each other four times.
I mean, Chris Dunn will be in Chicago with Zach LaVine, and I mean, maybe they can make something work, but I highly doubt it. That's gonna be wrapping up this version of our first installment of the season preview. As we continue on, we got quite a few parts of these. We're gonna keep everybody with, you know, rolling with the content. Are you looking forward to the next tier?
I had no problem with this tier. It was
this was the snakes in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. This is the, you remember when he's in the pet store and there's a fire and he's trying to get all the pets and he's trying to get all the animals out, but the snakes are there and he hates snakes, so he's like, ugh, I'll do the snakes later. And he's like, and then at the very end, the only ones left are the snakes, and he just grabs them, collapsing on the ground and fainting. It's like, these are the snakes. These are the snakes of the NBA this year.
Sounds about right.
But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. We're going to see y'all again really soon. Take care, guys.